Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guests are pastors' wives, Jessica Taylor, Jenna Allen, and Stephanie Gilbert. They're on the show telling all about church and life in ministry. In a world that expects near perfection from people in ministry, it is hard to be honest about struggles of being a pastor's wife or a woman in ministry, let alone have a sense of humor about it. Jessica, Stephanie, and Jenna are all on the show sharing a safe place for pastors' wives and women in ministry to be their most authentic selves. Join us as we address topics such as how to smash stereotypes, deal with marital issues, make friends, and overcome parenting anxiety. They remind pastors' wives and the people in their congregations that God doesn't expect them to be superhuman. If you're a pastor's wife, by calling, by choice, or by circumstance, you'll find relief, renewal, and refreshment in today's episode.
Well, hello, Stephanie, Jessica, and Jenna. I'm so happy to have the three of you on the Love Offering Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
This might be, oh, no, I was going to lie. I was going to say this is the first time I've had three people, but I've had the Ruth experience on before. But this is rare. This is rare and such a treat. So, and I've never had pastor's wives on. So this is exciting.
y'all are for a ride.
Well, already I can tell that y'all are so much fun. I already said before we hit record, like, I want to write a book with my friends and market it with my friends because y'all have been together all day, like, doing this thing, like, eating and fellowshipping and talking and so much fun. Like, how lucky are you? I want to hear more about, like, each of you three, but then also how you all met.
Okay. You want to start with individual?
Sure. Okay. So I'm Jenna. And my husband, Ian, and I have been married for almost 16 years. Wow, that's so crazy. And we have two beautiful children. We have Addie, who's 11, and Avery, who's 8. And we've been in ministry since we have known each other, pretty much. He has always been called to ministry. He was a worship pastor. He was a youth pastor. And now he is the production director at our church that we attend. And he disciples his team. And then I also am a photographer. And I do websites, branding, things like that. And I also work alongside Jessica with her nonprofit Come Away Missions.
My name is Jessica. My husband's name is Jonathan. We are lead pastors at Village Church here in our local area. We have two beautiful daughters, Grace and Olivia. And and both of them are adopted, which is very close to, you know, just our hearts. Grace is from Russia and Olivia is from China. And they are absolutely just so full of life and so awesome. So yeah. And my husband and I have also, we were in youth ministry for about 12 years as well. So yeah.
Doing all the things.
All the things.
Okay. And I'm Stephanie. My husband is Isaac. We've been in youth ministry and have been married for over, well, it's coming up on 17 years. So, and just been with the teenagers the whole time. We always say we're going to do it until we're dead, basically. old people. We're going to be old man and old woman youth pastors. It's fine. We love it so, so much. And just to give a little background to the three of us and how we got connected, I went through quite a bit of time feeling very lonely because I kind of did it to myself a little bit. Just, I wanted to be everybody else's best friend, but I didn't let people in to see the true, real me. And so because of that, it caused a lot of problems in friendships. And it was hard. And moving to this place, this area, to the church we are now, I remember just being like, I am not going to be anybody but myself. I'm going to come in and if you love me, you love me. If you hate me, you hate me. And that's just, you know, we're just going to have to do life as me, the me that God created. And not in a prideful way, but in a, you know, I can't be fake. I've got to be goofy and whatever, because that's who I am. And so I noticed at this new church that people accepted that and they loved that. And it was just different. And then I felt God stirring in me to bring women together, to bring the church together, that we need more diversity, that we need different ages, we need different denominations, we need to be the body of Christ, because right now it's looking like we've got an arm broken off over here or a leg over there, that sort of thing. And, you know, of course, when God tells us, you know, put something on our hearts, sometimes we can get real antsy and decide that we know the right way. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a women's conference. And instead of it being my conference or my church's conference, it's going to be a community one. And I'm going to reach out to other women in the community and see if I can build or construct, you know, a conference out of the whole community with lots of diversity. And through that process, I met Jessica because someone else told me I absolutely had to have her on my team because she's good at like everything, which is so true. And I'm like, okay, well, bring her to me. And the first time we talked on the phone, it was probably for a solid hour. I got off the phone, looked at my husband and said, oh my gosh, I want her to be my friend. Really want her to be my friend. I love her so much. And we just started kind of working together on this idea of the conference. And these two had worked together and served together in a church years prior to that, but really hadn't built a friendship. And it wasn't until about maybe 2016 that they started actually getting together, seeing each other, going to coffee, and realizing that they were just as stupid as each other and weird and
we
crazy.
Sure are.
And that they had the same kind of sense of humor. They were very different. Like all three of us, you'll find, are very different in a lot of ways, but we have that commonality of just being goofy. And so through that connection, Jessica introduced me to Jenna and we just felt connection too. And so then it built onto the three of us. And it's funny because the conference never happened because 2020 happened. And so, but during that time, God had put this little idea in my mind and I said it out loud to them, like, what if we did just like a podcast, but we called it The Very Worst Preacher's Wife or something like that? Because don't you feel like you don't fit? Like you don't fit the mold of a preacher's wife, a pastor's wife. Like we're just different. I don't know. And they were all like, yeah, no, yeah. And then Jessica was the one that said, I got it. It's Pastor's Wives Tell All. And we're going to talk about the hard things. We're going to talk about the good things. We're going to talk about the things most people don't talk about that need to be talked about. And so from there, God has just done something that we didn't see coming. We were shocked when a stupid, silly dance reel blew up and our downloads blew up and just everything from a grainy reel on Instagram. But like God does that, right? He just, it's not about us. He can take anything and just and use anybody to put his name at the focus. And so it's been pretty cool that we get to do this together and we have built this friendship where like, I would not want to do it without them. So
I love so much about that story. Like you all don't even go to the same church, but God brought you together and made a sense of community. And I appreciate so much your ability to be authentic and vulnerable. And I think that that is what's so special about you all in your book. And I'm interested, like, was there a hesitancy even from your husbands? my wives are getting ready just to like tell everything about the church. And even like, I mean, people from your church probably listen to the podcast. And so it's like, oh, wait a minute, she's talking about me. Is there any like fear in being vulnerable?
I would say for me, personally, there were some, I mean, we were, like you said, we were vulnerable in this book. There are things in the book that we haven't talked about on the podcast. We put it out there. And we had those conversations, my husband and I, you know, are we sure? Are you good with me sharing this? You know? And at first he was like, but honestly, like that's what we are teaching, because vulnerability breaks down walls and barriers. And we want people to know that we're human. Just like you, we struggle with the same things that you do. And so we have to set that example. And so we put it out there. And if it was just for one person, then it was worth it.
And I would say all our churches are really supportive.
Yeah.
We haven't had kickback from them. It's the strangers on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, but our people have been so supportive.
And I think like, there definitely was some nervousness with, especially when we share about church hurt. Early on, we shared, I know a lot of the church hurt came from a church that's still here locally where we are. So learning how to not, you know, asking the Lord, like, we don't want to gossip, but we also have to speak truth, but also not drag anybody's name. That's a hard thing to do when your testimony is so intertwined with so many people. How do you do that and still glorify God and make sure, you know, he's getting the glory and it's not about the negativity? So I definitely was nervous during those times. And, you know, my husband and I and the girls, like, you know, I remember us going, okay, is that too much? Is that enough? Like, just making sure that we check it.
Yeah.
To make sure that it's right and to hold each other accountable. But it's been really cool.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, you know, you are human. You put your pants on the same way that everybody else does. But yet we as a congregation, because I'm not a pastor's wife, my sister-in-law is a pastor's wife. So I do feel like I have a little bit of familiarity with your all's position. But I think we have a tendency to idolize our pastors and put them on a pedestal and have these really great expectations for them to never fail and almost not be human. Right. And so I would love to hear, like, what have some of the expectations that have been placed on you in the past, what have they been and how have you combated those?
Oh, well, I think most pastors' wives would give you pretty much the same answer. Okay. So you have to dress a certain way. You have to act a certain way. Your marriage is perfect. Your kids don't ever misbehave. They're always quiet. You should not have tattoos or piercings other than the ones in your earlobes. Maybe your husband is the worship pastor, so therefore you play the piano. There's a lot of expectations and a lot of, you know, pedestals, like Jessica said earlier, that we're put on. And so, and that's pretty general across the board, we found. We even spoke to some pastors' wives in Africa, and even with a language barrier and with a translator, they said a lot of the same things. So,
You said it all, Jenna. I think that we all deal with those same things. And we have to, you know, we talk a lot in our podcast about identity. And so truly the biggest thing is we've all had our struggles in our own unique ways over the years. And especially all of us went into ministry right after marriage. You know, I've been married now and in ministry for 21 years. Like, I was 20, got married, went right into youth ministry. And so there's so much that no one taught me. I watched from, you know, growing up in the church, but not always really great examples. Or, you know, as a kid, though, like, you're really not seeing a lot that's happening with the pastor's wife. And so you're really just thrown into the wolves. And so you have to just kind of figure it out. And then you have a lot of opinions coming at you, telling you you should be a certain way, dress a certain way, and all of that. So it really does stay with you. And so it really was not until my 30s, and I think these ladies would say around the same thing, thing that, like, until I really just was like, hold on, why do I care so much about what other people think? You know, and not in a mean way, but just like, I need to know who my identity lies in. I can't allow myself to shift as much as I am when opinions and people come my way trying to tell me who I am. Jesus is the only one that's allowed to tell me who I am.
Right.
And so I am supposed to live trying to please an audience of one. And so I think that once I figured that out, it was so much, it was just freeing to be able to be who I am, to be in my own skin, to, and then I was able to minister better to people. And then that vulnerability started to come and sharing stories, letting people know me and my husband are not perfect. Our kids are not perfect. And then I just saw such a beautiful difference in the way chains were broken and people were being healed, not because of what we did, but because they heard that they're not alone and that we are all dealing with the same thing. So it really was a beautiful kind of collision that happened in my 30s.
You all have talked about how it can feel like you're living in a fishbowl as a family. Like, everybody is just watching your every move. So I'd love for you just to, you know, give us a little bit of insight on what this looks and feels like from the inside.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of that thinking about living in a fishbowl is probably because we once upon a time were the ones who were watching the fishbowl and seeing what that pastor's wife did and what her husband did. And did you hear about that time? And then those kids, oh, did you see what that pastor's kid did? And so going into it, you already know that there are people watching. And there are people who have expectations that they're trying to put on you as well. And it's funny because this is just a funny story to kind of set the scene here. When we moved to our first ministry job, like the city we were going to be serving in, it's this tiny town of about 2,000 people in Alabama. There were like two stoplights in the whole city. So it's just, and it was just all on one street, you know? And I remember one Sunday, this, I don't even remember who it was, but it was an elderly lady. And she came up to me and she said, "You know, the other day I saw you use your front driveway. You never use your front driveway. You always use that back one." And I went,
"That's what? Creepy."
But it was just, it's the small town mentality. Everybody knows everything about everyone. Everybody pays attention to everyone. And I remember thinking, oh, what have I gotten myself into? Because really, it is kind of like that. They're watching. And when you mess up, or if you don't mess up, or if you act like you have it together, they're watching that going, oh gosh, well, I can't share anything because, you know, they don't share. So I guess I'm not supposed to. And so the fishbowl can be either like, we can be really nervous about it and like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cause my husband to have a bad name or the church, or we can take advantage of that and say, you know what? This is who I am. This is who my family is. We're not perfect. Guess what? My husband and I, we got in a fight last night, but we're working it out because that's what God would want. He would want us to talk about these things, to admit our sins out loud. It, to confess your sins one to another is not just for everybody else. It's for us. Yeah. And so to turn that on its head, that even though, yes, it's hard living in a fishbowl sometimes, but if you go, I get to do this, I get to live in this position and show them how to be vulnerable. Show people through my own actions how parenting is hard, but it's okay. And we're in it together. Like all of these things, I think it's like good and bad on both hands.
I was just going to add, but there are some negative ways that we are in that fishbowl. Definitely, especially early on, you know, especially, you know, the lovely social media came into play. So if you go on a vacation, oh, well, we must be paying you real good because you always going on vacation. And, you know, they have no clue. Or, I mean, I've even had people say, oh, well, your husband, you know, he just, you know, has those Enclave shoes or wears a Columbia shirt. And man, y'all must, we must be paying you real good. And, you know, like that kind of stuff. And the always going on vacation was a big one for me. That, you know, first of all, I didn't tell you I was going on vacation. How do you even know? But yeah, it is social media. They make assumptions about you, but what they don't know is that we have family members that have blessed us with vacation time, you know, like, or we have a free place to stay. Therefore, all we're paying for is gas and the food. You don't know that my husband is looking on, what are all the
Facebook Marketplace,
and all eBay. Of that to find eBay. Like, even we don't even have to tell you that we're doing that, but that's what's happening. But you're coming to an assumption that's totally incorrect. And so those are just like small little nitpicky things. But when you hear those over a 20-year period, it can get a little frustrating, know, because what other job or position that people can kind of hold over your head? Well, we must be paying you good. You could do this all the time. You know, it can get frustrating, especially for someone like me.
Because then you feel like you can't take a picture and post it while you're on vacation, and you can't wear that pair of shoes to church because people are going to think that you used your money in a wrong way. Like it gets in there in your head.
For sure.
Well, and it makes me even just think that that's one of the enemy's tactics. I mean, 100%. That he wants to pit people against each other. He wants to take the joy out of ministry. So have you all experienced, just feel like it's the attack of the enemy? And how have you been more aware of his efforts to change things and, I guess, disrupt your ministry?
I would say that for the past 20 years, the enemy has been trying to disrupt the whole time. I think that that it depends on how many times we're putting on the full armor of God, that sometimes when we get so busy doing for the Lord that we forget to be with him. And those times when that happens, then our guard is down and our shield is down and our helmet is off. And then it's a little bit easier for the enemy to attack us or our family. I think that the enemy definitely over the past few years has come at it with our kids. He is there to still kill and destroy our children in a mighty way. And we have seen that all three of us in different ways that have showed up. And so really just teaching about spiritual warfare, even to our children at a young age, like I was like, man, I didn't ever think I was going to be talking to my kids this young of an age about, you know, demons and spiritual warfare and all of that. But they need to know that we are in constant battle. And then, you know, when it happens to you and it happens in ministry, and we've had a lot of hurt within the church, and my husband was fired, you know, quite a few years back, after just a lot of evil that happened within the church, it was the enemy. And you know what it was, which happens a lot, is the identity, the pastor or staff member or board member or elder or just people within the church don't know where their identity lies. So they become very insecure and they start to allow the enemy to have a foothold and then completely destroy a church that was built on a beautiful foundation, but it falls apart when they don't know who their identity lies in, and comparison and insecurity takes root. And so I have seen that more than ever in every walk of life, in every church we've been a part of in some way, shape, or form. And so that's the hardest thing, to love people even when you are really angry and don't ever want to see people again. But then to remember that God has called us to love people, and to hold people accountable and to be used by him. And we have to remember that if Jesus was hated, we're going to be hated. If the enemy attacked Jesus in so many ways, we're going to be attacked. Why are we so surprised, you know?
And I've even seen the warfare show up physically, but then also in our minds. I'm talking anxiety, depression, not just among us, but in our families. And physically, I mean, we just recently had some bouts of going to the hospital. Like, my husband randomly had a mini stroke. He woke up and his legs weren't working and he was blurry in one eye. Like, it shows up in so many ways, and it's always when God's about to do something big. And so we have to be on guard. She's right. Like, and we have to come from it, or come at it from a standpoint of victory, and like, God has won the war. So this battle is a battle we can win because the war has been won. So, but it's hard in the midst of it as you're going through it.
I would say, for me personally, I think the biggest way that the enemy has come in and tried to attack me, is been with identity, just in general, with everything that we're doing and the retreats that we're doing with ministers' wives. There's just this whisper of a lie, and it is a lie that, you know, I'm like, who am I to do what I'm doing? Like, God, how can you use me to speak to these women? Like, are you sure you want to do that, God? Like, and I'll be honest, like he really had me like under his thumb, before one of our retreats that we did, last year. And it was a struggle. I was on the struggle bus for about a day and a half. And, you know, God took me to the story of Moses, you know, where Moses is like, why me, God? Are you sure you want to use me? And, you know, I don't have eloquent words, and, you know, which is the lies that the enemy was feeding me that entire week leading up to this retreat, because I was just nervous and, you know, didn't think that I was going to do it right. And, you know, why should I be doing it at all if I can't do it right? And God said, excuse me, hello, I made your mouth. Like, I can and I will use you. If you were perfect, then why would you need me? And so identity is huge. And that's something that we talk about all the time on our podcast, because we have to know whose we are, because we can't walk in our calling until we know that.
Yeah. You know what I love so much? I mean, obviously your main ministry is to ministers' wives, but Like I'm gleaning so much from this, just as a woman and as a Christian and as a mother. And I think that this applies to so many women, no matter what their role or age or stage. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, one of the attacks of the enemy is on our mental health. And you all actually have a chapter in the book titled "The Pastor's Wife Goes to Therapy Too." So have you seen, or how, I guess, how have you seen mental health stigmas show up even in the church?
I mean, I think people think you're supposed to have it all together. And if you go into therapy, if, you know, if somebody in the church finds out that their pastor or pastor's wife is in therapy, then, oh, what's going on? Something's wrong. You know, when in reality, like, that's a great thing for accountability and just maintenance. Like, you should be seeking wise counsel. And so I'm in therapy and I love my therapist and I just cannot even imagine not going. So definitely. That's been a thing.
Yeah. Well, growing up, I think that's where it comes from is our, especially our generation growing up in church. I remember sermons where they would say, well, if you're depressed and you've got anxiety, that's sin and you need to get it out. And it was harped on as you have something wrong with you spiritually and God is not happy with you.
Or you don't have enough faith.
You don't have enough faith to get over that mountain. What's wrong? Like, you need to get down on your face and whatever. And you could do all the right things and do what they say to do. Pray, read your Bible, and nothing would happen. And you'd be like, but I'm still struggling. And then to realize as we've gotten older that there are actual physical things that go wrong sometimes or get a little bit twisted in your brain that just need a little bit of help. And that there are people, men and women in the Bible who had mental health struggles and would say it out loud. I mean, David, it got dark in the Psalms. But for some reason we think that if even though a man after God's own heart went through this, that something's wrong, really wrong with us if we have any kind of mental health struggle. And that's just not, it's not true, but it's just this lie that was told over and over and over again from the pulpit.
I just was thinking that, you know, I imagine as vulnerable as you all are, sometimes it probably is nice to be able to talk to somebody that has no skin in the game, you know, like, and even somebody that isn't always at your church, because it's like, well, if I tell them this, then will it get around and you know, gossip and all those things. And so I imagine that it is probably difficult to be completely yourself and be able to trust and open up to people in the church when they feel like that they're in charge of maybe even your income or your job or whatever. And so I imagine that is so complicated and adds to the church hurt. I forget which one of you mentioned church hurt. But I think it is so prevalent, honestly. You know, I think a lot of times when people just almost church hop and just switch from church to church because, or don't go at all because they have been hurt by people in the church. So I know you mentioned that you have experienced that, but even within the church, as people leave, I don't know, I'd love for y'all just to talk more about that topic of church hurt.
Well, it's funny you asked that question.
How long do you have?
Well, it's actually really funny that you asked this question because literally we struggled. We had an episode come out Monday when we are recording this with you. We had a episode came out Monday about church hoppers, and it actually produced a whole lot of controversy for us. We never knew that it would, but we had so much hate come out of every social media account and DM that we can, you know, hold. And so, yeah, but we ended up going live and talking through that and giving some clarity where clarity needed to be. But I think for this is a great question because church hopping is not talked about enough. And that's one thing we did hear from a lot of people. Thank you for talking about this. And so, you know, just first of all, those that are listening, we're not talking about people that have been abused in the church or at a church that the Bible is not being preached or that the Holy Spirit is not there. And so you need to leave. Take all of those instances out. We are just talking about church hoppers that maybe get offended really easily instead of going and talking about that and using the Matthew 18 principle and trying to work it out, you just leave. Or you don't like how the worship is this week, or your pastor didn't use enough scripture for you, the holier than thou's. Or, you know, you just, I don't really, you know, I think that there wasn't enough fog in the room for me. I need more glitz and glamour. Anything. We are just so consumer driven as a body of believers here in America. So life is like a box of chocolates, and it's like, I'm going to go to that church, grab that piece of chocolate. If I don't like it, then I'm just going to take a bite and then move on. And that's what it is. It's very consumer driven. And so what happens is we have an epidemic of people that are hopping from church to church because they're never going to be satisfied. And so that's the huge thing that we want to share about, is that we are called to be with a body of believers. We are called to glorify Jesus. He is a relational God. Therefore, he has called us to the church. And that, whether that is a church home, a family church, a mega church, a small church, he has called you just to be with a body of believers and to worship him in spirit and in truth, and then to go out as a body and share the gospel and disciple the nations. And so I think that for church hopping, you never get to really truly be a part of the body. You know, one thing that we talked about on the episode is we kind of shared like what we have got to see over the years because we stay. Because even when it gets tough, we have stayed. And so we can share and go, I remember when our kids were not saved. I remember when, you know, my friend got, you know, addiction is no longer a thing for them, or their marriage was restored. When you stay part of the body, and you get connected and you start to serve and meet people, and you get to see Jesus work in these mighty ways. But so many people miss that because they just never are satisfied, right? Because they are selfish and actually looking for people to serve them instead of to be served. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I guess that leads into church hurt, which is what you were asking, right? How do I say this? Many people have been church hurt. And what I mean by that is there have been circumstances outside of their control. There are people within the church who are allowing the enemy to use them.
Yep.
And they're not fighting against the enemy. And they are being very harmful, whether that's a pastor that's doing that, whether that's a church member doing that, but putting expectations on other people, which is pushing people away. And so there are times where people do get church hurt. And we could say they hop over to another church, but that's not, to me, that is not hopping. Yeah, that would be, yeah, that is, there is real pain. There are people in ministry who are there for themselves and not for the people, or there for a platform and are always looking for the next big church and the next big thing. That's an epidemic. So we love to call that out too, because as leaders, we all should be doing this for Jesus's name, not our own.
Right.
Period. And when we are there for ourselves, it hurts people. Mm-hmm. Like when it becomes about us, we end up making the wrong kinds of decisions. Narcissism gets its little play, and people are just bleeding right now. Yeah. I feel like in so many churches, they're bleeding out. They're going, I'm supposed to be in this safe place, and it's not safe at all. This is supposed to be the place I can go to and confess my sins and have people uplifting me. But instead, they're just pushing me further and further down. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. It is a problem.
But don't leave the church. Like leave that church, but don't leave the big C church. Go, and if you need to find healing, like my husband and I didn't step back into a church for a while when we were hurt. It was like 3 or 4 weeks that we took off. And, but we were still abiding and spending time with Jesus, but we just needed to heal. But you don't stay disconnected. You find a church, ask the Holy Spirit to move and lead you until you find that place. Because don't let the hurt stop you. I mean, people are going to hurt you at work, but you don't stop your work, right? But it's the easiest thing for people to let go of is church.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep on going to work, right, so we can get that money, but we'll stop going to church. Had to drop the hat altogether, you know, so we definitely got to change that.
So that actually segues really well into my next question for you. what do you love most about church? I'm just thinking about the woman that's like, I'm done. I don't want to go back to church. I have been hurt. I've tried all the churches. But why would you say, like, church is important and we need that in our lives?
I mean, we need community. We need to be a part of a body of believers. We need to be serving in our churches. That's my favorite thing about being in church is I love to serve. Like I am on the creative team at my church and I have built a team and I have gotten, you know, in community with them. And I love documenting, like I'm a photographer. So I love to document what God's doing in our church. And I think when you get involved, that's when you really start to see the beauty of why it's so important to be connected to the body of Christ. And, you know, for people out there who are church hopping, you're not going to find a perfect church. There is no perfect church because a church is made up of people and people are not perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have issues that come along, but you have to work through them just like you would with your family or your friends. Yeah. But to leave the big C body of Christ, like you just can't do it. But serving is that's my favorite part.
I love just like on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night at a worship night, like just worshiping corporately. Mm-hmm. It's just something really sweet about that I just love. And I'm like, can we just stay here in this moment and just continue to sing and throughout? We don't have any voices. I would say that's like one of my favorite like times, but also just the relationships, because these people that I'm thinking about in my head have molded and shaped me and have held me accountable and have cheered on me, my husband, my children. And where would I be like if I wasn't with them the past 9 years? They've just helped me grow in so many areas, but also have been encouraged because I've seen the Spirit move in their lives. And that's just super cool to watch and be a part of.
For sure.
Yeah. My favorite is just the teenagers and the college kids, like all those young people. And they just bring so much life to me when I get to hear about what they're going through, laugh with them, hang out with them, all of that. That brings life to me. And I know that I'm a youth pastor's wife, but I just think that the church, the young people are where it's at, and they are the next generation that need to be risen up, and we have got to pour into them. Mm-hmm. And that's like my favorite part.
I imagine there are lots of pastors' wives listening to this. But for those that maybe aren't pastors' wives and maybe just part of the congregation and just serving within their church, what do you hope that they would hear most from your messaging? Like, how can we as a congregation best love and serve and accept our pastors' wives?
You are called to. You are a vital part of the church. It cannot function fully to its potential without you. It's not just for the pastor and the pastor's spouse. You have gifts. You have callings. The Lord wants to see you thrive in those callings, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's in the nursery, or on the stage, music, whatever it is, we all have a part to play. Mm-hmm. And if we're not playing it, we're messing up the body. We're giving ourselves a limp, you know? And I just think that if more people realized how vital they were, they'd probably do more. Mm-hmm. They'd get up more and be like, yes, let me serve. And then we wouldn't be burning out just the few who are trying to hold the rest of the body and drag it behind them. You know what I mean?
Mine would be along the lines of that. I think one thing is to know that we are just like you, so check in on us. Also, don't think that we're so busy that we don't have time, because what happens with a lot of pastors' wives that we hear from is that everyone thinks we're so busy that no one asks us. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is no one asks, and so they are very lonely, lonely people. Some of the loneliest people in the world are pastors' wives and pastors. And so make sure you ask and check in on them. Mm-hmm. We know, here's one little tip, we know the people that actually care about us and are just needing advice and counsel. And we are here for both of you, but also just ask how we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think that's just a good rule of thumb just in general, ask questions to anyone you come in contact with. Don't always be the one talking, but check in, maybe babysit on occasion, check in on my husband and encourage him, and don't put expectations on us that we're never going to be able to fulfill. We're just like you.
Y'all hit the nail on the head. I'm not even going to add anything to that. I'm going to leave that alone. That was good.
We're all like nodding. Yes.
Perfect.
Well, so this is a question I've been asking all of my guests as we start to come to a close. So what is something that you all are loving right now?
I am loving what God is doing right now, just through this little podcast that we just on a whim started and, you know, had no idea what we were doing in the beginning. And we have just, you know, kind of, and maybe it's more so me than the other two, but kind of gone kicking and screaming, like, are you sure, Lord? Like, are you sure this is what you want us to do? But he's just shown us over and over again that when we just take it step by step and we are obedient to the now things that he's asking us to do, he just continues to reach people. And it just blows my mind. I'm just so thankful that he's using us to be a part of all of it.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of go with the pastor wife theme for a minute, since we're, but just because you're hitting us on such a cool moment in our lives when, you know, we just never thought that we would write a book, the three of us, and that, like she said, we would have the podcast, but also some things in the work that we can't even talk about right now. That's like, God, like, how did this happen? Like, how did people find us? Like, you know, it's just, but it's how we love it, because then we know it's not us. Right. We didn't push it. Nobody asked, you know, things are just happening when they're supposed to be. Cause a lot of times as humans, we like to push things because it's a dream of ours or it's a passion of ours, and we push things. And then when they don't come when we think they should, then we're really disappointed and we move on. But if we just really allow Jesus to like work through us on an everyday occasion, then we're not going to miss the small moments and the big moments. So yeah, just today we just had like really good conversations and meetings and just things in the works that were just,
blowing
our minds and going, God, us, you know? So, and then just our book coming out on April 30th is just surreal. And we're just praying that God moves through our testimonies in a mighty way. And it's just been really beautiful.
I mean, should I say ditto? No, I just called my husband a bit ago after one meeting this morning. That was just, I'm still going, wow, God, wow. Like I'm just, what are you even doing? I don't know, but I'm here for it. And I'm talking to my husband. He said, you sound so excited. I'm like, I am. Like, and this is just this friendship, this podcast. I am loving that right now. Another thing I'm loving is, and I'll just say something that's completely different, is the age of my kids right now. They're in that like in between like teenager and little kid stage. So they're, you know, becoming, they're either tweens, the beginning of teenage, or like right behind tween. And there's been a lot of good conversations I've been able to have with my kids lately, like deep stuff and hearing their hearts. And one of my kids is so sensitive to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And he's always telling me, he's like, you know, I think God's telling me something. I'm like, well, what's God telling you? And then he'll begin to share. And I'm going, wow. And I looked at him yesterday and I said, God, he's really going to use you because you're different. Like there's something different. And because he's so much more concerned about loving the Lord and doing what the Lord says. And he gets very discouraged when his friends don't, or if they don't see it the same way. And he's like, Lord, like he wants his friends to follow God, and he will get teary telling me this. And I'm going, this kid is young and he's such a heart and a passion. And that right there is probably like my most favorite thing ever.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, there's so much ministry within our own homes, within our own communities, within our churches, online. Like what a privilege and responsibility to get to be a part of all of that. And so, the other follow-up question as we come to a close that I've been asking is there a biblical concept of love that applies to this topic, that you would want to share with us?
Sometimes tough love is the love we have to share. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and that doesn't mean be ugly, keep it humble, but sometimes you have to speak truth in love. And that's, yeah. I feel like that's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I just hope that others can hear that and see that when we do bring those hard things up, because we do tell all, and that by that we mean it is tough love. We're talking about the things that other people aren't necessarily talking about. But it's things that are biblical that people need to hear. And, you know, if there's conviction there, then that's wonderful. Then we've accomplished what we came here to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking truth in love. Well, I would love if one or all, or however you want to do it, if somebody would pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this beautiful just moment to be with Rachel, God, and this time just to be able to talk about what you are doing and what you are teaching us. God, it is not by happenstance that we are on her podcast today, God. And so I pray for everyone that is listening. God, I pray for whatever walk of life they're in, that 100% the main thing they take away, that they are loved by a mighty God, a Father that will never leave or forsake them. God, let them know that you have a calling for them, and that's to be glorified. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is to glorify you, Jesus. And so, God, I ask that you will let people know that they are worthy and that they are not defined by their past mistakes, and that, God, that they have a future in you that is beautiful and bright if they will just obey and step out of their comfort zones into mm-hmm. the unknown, God, and that's where our faith is stretched. So, God, whoever that is that's listening, let them feel that in a mighty way, and let them go back to their churches, and let them be an encourager. Let them be selfless. God, let them want and have this will to serve you and your community and the church body. And God, for anyone that has been hurt or has been offended and is like, I don't want to go back in church, God, I pray that you will meet them where they're at, walk with them. God, you are such a patient God with us. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just speak to their hearts and let them know how much they are loved and needed in the body of Christ. And God, we just love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, ladies, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to. And you gave us some big teasers. Like, we just had this meeting and we've got really good news. We're really excited. And so I know everybody's going to want to, like, stay tuned to hear what this news is. And so tell us how we can connect with you.
Well, we do have a website. It's pastorswivestellall.com. We are on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. It's at Pastors Wives Tell All. So we make it pretty simple for you to find us. We're just the crazy ones that dance a lot and act weird. That's us. You're on the right page.
We speak a whole lot of truth too. We are not just crazy.
We're not just crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
But we do have fun.
Yes.
And we do have our book releasing, and you can see all about that on pastorswivestellall.com/book.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And make sure to go listen to our podcast. It is an amazing podcast where we really talk.
It's an amazing podcast. She's giving herself a pep
talk.
It is
an amazing podcast. Thank you. because Jesus created it. So it's amazing. So just like Rachel's is. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But it is. We'd love to have you. We'd love to just talk about all things church and people and love and Jesus. So, yeah. Come join us there too.
And last but not least, we do have a community group on Facebook for pastors' wives or ministry leaders that are women. And it is called the Pastors Wives Tell All Facebook community group. Yeah.
So I can even join that even though I'm not a pastor's wife.
Come on.
I'm coming. All right. Well, thank you all so much. You all are fun. Thank you for sharing so authentically and vulnerably and telling us all the things. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with the Pastor's Wives. We pray that today was insightful and helpful as you navigate your own church and ministry experiences. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes. You can read the blogs series, and you can download free resources like the Love Offering Calendar. I'd love to share that resource with you as well as others at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is the nester, Michaelyn Smith. She's talking about her new book on decorating and how to keep and turn a house into a home. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love. Thank you.